Nate Thurman and Al Attles has joined us on Sports Byline USA. What was the style of play, Al, at that time when you guys were playing? How would you describe the type of professional basketball back then?
Well, the first thing you have to look at is that there was not a three-point line. And the three-point line, I think, changed the game dramatically. The game was always played, and I was always a big proponent of it, and I think you'd have to say back then that's the way the game was played. It was playing for the inside out. And centers were the most important commodity in the game. So you played with the centers, and I can go back and start naming centers that were really, really great. And this is not a knock on coming, present game, but I think when the three-point line came in, it changed the game dramatically. Because, you know, I can remember some centers later on when I was coaching, not necessarily with the Warriors, but with other teams, they didn't want to play center. Because with the defenses dropping in and helping, they were getting double-teamed. And what are you supposed to do when you double-team? You're supposed to pass the basketball. So that means you're not getting as many shots if they double-team you. So a lot of centers wanted to face the basket rather than playing with their back to the basket. And I think that that really changed the nature of the game because, you know, it's more of a outside shooting game now than it ever was before. And the centers are probably where they were number one on the scoreboard years ago. They're kind of, you know, going back a little bit.
You know, I have always talked to guards who said they'd like to be a big guy, and a big guy would say he'd like to be a guard. You know, we always heard that, Nate, and everything. But tell me what the big man's mentality is in basketball when you were playing.
Well, at the time, because of Wilton Russell, just like Al said, you were the dominant type person on the team. And you, don't forget there was Wes Unseld, there was Willis Reed, and there were Walt Bellamy.
Mm-hmm. And Nate Thurman, just let me get that in. And Nate Thurman was there too, okay.
Yeah, I was there. That's what I'm saying. And we all, you know, played a dominant role. Now, as Al said, the game has changed a lot. But you know, I'm not playing now, so it doesn't bother me. But I liked some of the changes. For example, I think that guys like Larry Bird, guys like Magic Johnson, Michael was a little shorter, but I'm saying guys that could handle the ball, shoot the ball, and involve everybody into the game has made it for an interesting game. The center, being where he's positioned, to me, cannot really help everybody offensively. He can as a byproduct. If people sink back in and on him, then of course somebody's open. But if you have a guy who's fluid with the ball, Kevin Durant, for example, here's a guy 6'10", 6'11", bring the ball up court. He can shoot it. He can pass it. He can bring people to him. His pass is a pinpoint. So to me, the evolution hasn't made it a bad product. It's just has made it a different flowing type game that I kind of enjoy watching.
Al, you said something that was kind of interesting, and you said that the game changed when the three-point play came into play. But let me take you back to the era that you played. There was a guard in your league by the name of Oscar Robertson that scored a triple-double during the course of a season. The fact that that type of perimeter player to some degree, or am I
I think people misread Oscar. Oscar played wherever he wanted to play on the floor. But the three-point shot was not his main shot. What he would do is he'd try to get in that mid-range area. He was bigger than most guards. He would get in the main area. He didn't take you to the post too often because he didn't need to, because once he got into that mid-range area and took his shot, you know, there was nothing you could do with it. The reason I said the game has changed because of the three-point line is because of the defenses. The defenses would take centers out of the game. Because you drop a man in front of you, drop a man in back. And what are you supposed to do if two people playing one? You pass the basketball. So a lot of centers weren't getting the shots that they would normally get. So, you know, it's not a bad situation. It's just a different situation. And I think that those players who played back then, you know, just played the way the game was played. And these players who play today play the same way. And I think that, you know, as Nate said, it's a great product. But it's a different product.
Nate, I'm interested in something, and that is the fact that you had the big guy, you had the outside players, but it seems to me as I watch games on film that you guys played, there was more of a team concept.
No question.
No question about it. Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. But what was the attitude that made that possible on a team?
Well, I think that the fact that the players are so athletically gifted has made that come into focus. In other words, now you have guys who are so good with the ball, they don't want to pick. And when we were playing, you know, Al would draw up a play. Well, there were three or four situations where somebody picked somebody to get one or two people free. That may not happen today because Carmelo, you know, wants to back in, dribble the ball. He doesn't want anybody crowding his space. Mm-hmm. The same with Iverson. I still think the pick and roll, if performed correctly, is the greatest play in basketball. And you don't have to draw it up. If you do it right and your center and the person that he's picking for are in tune with each other, somebody's going to be open for a split second. I don't care what you do. So, but, you know, today, the way they handle the ball, you know, I look at it and I talked to Bill Russell about this. I said, Bill, we wouldn't have blocked as many shots as we did if we were playing today, because they'll make you break your ankle out there. I mean, you see Steph Curry doing some dip and diving, you know, and then you got the guy, I can't call his name, he played for the Warriors, he's playing for the Clippers now. He dribbles behind his back two or three times, and you gotta honor what he's doing, so it makes it much more difficult, plus the fact that guys just don't lay it up anymore, they lay it down, and we didn't have to contend with that, so... I mean, all in all, the athleticism has changed the NBA for the better.
Well, I agree 100%. I can remember growing up in New Jersey and going back in the summer and hearing guys talk about the great players and whatever. And, you know, we'd either go over to New York or Philadelphia or go to Washington and play in different games. And all of a sudden, you started seeing players do things that hadn't been done before. And, you know, I remember when I was coaching we had a meeting in Chicago, and I remember before the meeting, some players were talking about, you know, we're the best players that ever played in basketball. And I remember saying, wait a minute. I can take you to some areas where players who never got an opportunity to play in the NBA would be as good. See, there's a thing about being in the right place at the right time. I happen to be one of them. And I can remember some players not... you know, being able to get into the NBA for whatever reason. Some of them played in the Eastern League or wherever they played. But, you know, back then the game was different. What I mean by being different, it was more of a game of scoring points. So if you scored a lot of points, you made money because that's, you know, they came in and their rival was the college game. So what happened is you had to do things. I remember Wilt wanting to go to the Globetrotters because he wanted to play more of a team game, and they said, no, you have to, you know, really be at the head of the league because, you know, we can bring people in and we can make money. But you know, what happened is slowly but surely, when the game has evolved to where you have such great players who do so many great things, and I really am amazed at some of the things they can do. I remember sitting out at some of the games and watching the guys do things. For instance, we talk about Curry, who I think is a terrific shooter. His dad was an outstanding shooter. His brother's a great shooter. But when you look at this young man shoot the basketball, those players who played years ago know scoring that ball is not as easy as he makes it look. And I'm amazed sometimes when I see him shoot the ball in practice and he's just shooting and having fun. Then all of a sudden the game starts and it's like a light went on. All of a sudden he's knocking them down from left to right. I just think that the game has evolved. And it's great to see, because when you see the way it has evolved, you really, really are happy about it. At least I am.
We got about 90 seconds before we have to break. Oh, did you want to add to that? Go ahead.
Let me add to that by saying that Curry is shooting from the three-point line almost as well as some of the players that we played against shot from regular distance. That's how much shooting has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry West, the greatest shooter as we thought he was, I think he was at 45%, if I make no mistake. Today, Curry is shooting 51, 52% from the field and 42, 44% from three-point line. So going to camps from the time that he's 6 years old until now,
mm-hmm.
helps everybody. I never went to a camp, and probably Al never did either.
We're going to take a break here, come back on the other side. When we do, we're going to talk about a teammate they each played with, Wilt Chamberlain. We'll talk more about the history of this game as we continue on Sports Byline.